Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. The show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area, Elite Vacation Homes is the place to go. They have homes from 2 to 6 bedrooms, they have pools, they have game rooms, and they have outside barbecues. So contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to rent a DVC hotel, if you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Contemporary, contact David's at davidsvacationclubrentals.com. And now on with the show.
Doug, how you doing this week?
Just peachy. It's getting warm. It's getting nice out. Now we need some rain.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's so dry. We got brush fire warnings up here.
Yeah, and I can't believe all that snow that melted into the ground still isn't enough.
Yeah, pretty amazing that the water table's where it is now. And we haven't gotten any rain, and boy, it's got to be almost 3 weeks.
Well, don't fear. The next couple weeks, I'm done my inside union job. I got decks. I got 2 decks to do outside. I got all outside work, so here comes the rain.
Yeah.
It's already saying it for tomorrow and Tuesday when I'm supposed to go paint a deck. So don't worry. You're going to get your rain coming your way.
Yeah, Murphy's Law, right?
He's a fickle one. So you ready to do a little news, buddy?
Yeah, a couple things happening down there in Disney World proper. A new walkway opened up in Asia at Disney's Animal Kingdom, and it's basically a shortcut path over to Cali River Rapids, if you can envision that. I don't know if you looked at any of the pictures, but it's, in keeping with most of the walkways at Disney's Animal Kingdom. It's kind of the bamboo fencing, if you will, on the outside, and it's a cool little path. And again, I think this is just part of a larger makeover, if you will, with the the new nighttime show that's going to happen over there, and they're probably beefing up the walkways to move people to and fro. So little change, nothing major, but it did happen.
Yeah, it looks like it runs through where the macaws are, the monkeys.
Yeah, the ones, I forget what they call them, tamarack or something like that, but the ones that are way, way high up in the tree there in the center.
Yeah, it has all the scaffolding and all up, it cuts you from Expedition Everest over to Cali River Rapids. It takes you right through the center now instead of having to go all the way up the Yak and Yeti, then make the right and go all the way back to Everest.
Right. Plus, with all the construction walls that were up and some that are still up, it just makes negotiating that area of the park a little easier.
Absolutely. And then, like you said, when the show finally comes, I'm sure it's going to be a way to exit people around who's not staying for the show again.
Right. Like I said, I would doubt if they just decided to put this in just because, for easier negotiation of the park. I'd be willing to bet it has something to do with the nighttime show coming and, like you said, Doug, getting people to and fro without too much fanfare.
I think it was needed regardless because I never understood why you had to walk so far around. I just figured they were trying to get the monkeys as much space as they could. Well, apparently that didn't matter.
Yeah. Right.
So. Go ahead to your next piece, my good friend.
Yeah, this one kind of surprised me, although I was pretty busy yesterday, so I wasn't really on social media. But plans have been filed for waterside Disney Vacation Club villas at Disney's Wilderness Lodge Resort. Again, this one kind of came out of nowhere. I don't believe I heard about this. There was speculation as to where DVC would go next, but that's kind of where we left it. And lo and behold, they went over to the Wilderness Lodge. From the article I'm reading, it sounds like that they're going to do not necessarily bungalows, but they're going to do something on the water similar to what they did over at the Pali with the bungalows. But this will be these structures will be on or near Bay Lake down towards that side of the the Wilderness Lodge Resort. So these will be some more units that I'll never be able to stay in because they'll be sick money, I'm sure, or points. But nevertheless, they're going to build these because they filed for a permit.
Well, all I have to say is they seen the bang they were getting out of the ones over at the Poly, so they're just going to re-roll. It's only supposed to be 20-some new units, isn't it? 28 or something like that?
Yeah, 26 waterside villas coming. I mean, that's a lot more, although I don't know what the what the square footage of them are.
They're probably going to be two-bedroom. When they say a villa, it's at least I would say they're going to be at least two-bedroom.
Right.
You know what I mean? But also, it sounds like it's going to be one continuous building, and then there's something about pools being added and another recreational area. So it's going to be a pretty,
right.
When it's all said and done, and with 26, it sounds like two separate buildings is what I'm gathering from what I read.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, and there is some diagrams here, but you're right. It does look like one building. Contiguous, like you said. And it says new restaurants, plural. So that's interesting to me, too. Whenever they add restaurants at Disney World, that's a good thing.
Absolutely. And the good part is, I would bet, if I was a bet man, it's going to be something on the water. It's going to be a waterfront restaurant, which that resort could actually use because all their restaurants are pretty much, I mean, would you say they really have a view?
No, they're kind of like the inner part of
exactly.
The resort. Yeah, looking in, and again, if you're not staying there or whatever, not that you wouldn't know where they are, but you're right, Doug. They don't really utilize the, the waterway, if you will.
You would think they would even have given you a view of that beautiful pool. I mean, like when you're walking down to get to the restaurant, you have the glass along the right-hand side as you're walking down that long hallway
back to
Roaring Fork and all. You know where I'm talking about.
Yep.
But you have a nice view there, but when you're in the restaurant, you don't really see anything from any of their restaurants.
No, and it seems to be a theme. Disney, and I think rightly so, is going to take advantage of its, waterfront
beauty.
Property, if you will. Yeah, I mean, down at the Disney Springs and what they did over at the Poly and now here, water features, I should say, are always fun. And looking at the boats coming to and fro, going to the Magic Kingdom, and who knows what else? I mean, maybe in the master plan, there's plans to do something out on one of the islands where the river country used to be. I mean, this could just be a baby step into more. More construction, if you will, or adds to the Bay Lake area.
Yeah, because they haven't used that island forever. I mean, it's basically a refugee for, wildlife.
Yeah, the alligators hang out there now. But, yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, it could just be this. But, we might see some more activity over in that section of Disney property. And if it is, that's all good.
Yeah, the only thing, that's the one thing I've never understood is why with the beauty of the, isn't that pool beautiful the way the geyser runs from inside the lobby down?
Oh, yeah.
The pool?
Yeah.
Aren't you always surprised that you've never seen anything, like they didn't put anything to view that? I was shocked that one of the restaurants didn't at least view that area and out towards the docks, out towards the back.
Right. Yeah, it's somewhat underutilized, although I remember years ago and all the literature for the Wilderness Lodge and stuff, that's one of the first pictures you see is that nice, the stream coming down the, the rock work there or whatever. But you are right, Doug, with the way it starts inside the lobby is just a tranquil little bubbling brook, if you will.
It brings out the little kid in me every time. I have to follow. I go out the doors and down the steps. I have to follow it. It's like a kid. You know how when you were a kid, you would throw the little stick in the stream and watch it run down the stream?
Right.
That's how I feel with this. Every time I'm in the Wilderness Lodge, at least once, I have to walk out that door, follow the stream down to the pool. I know what it does. I've been there 100 times, but it's one of those little simple things that makes me happy.
Yeah, just got to make sure that everything's flowing correctly and that it's still going where it's supposed to go. But
it's neat walking through the little rock features and it's just a nice little walk down that hill. It only takes, 2 minutes, 5 minutes to go down it?
Not even.
But it's a nice little walkway. It's something you have to do every time you're there. I know I do.
Yeah, it's unique to that resort, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Next piece.
Yeah, just kind of some new Disney Springs news. And again, it seems like every week we're announcing something or Disney is announcing something. Yeah, I mean, some of these things we've mentioned before, but they've kind of wrapped it up in a nice tidy bow here. But there are some new things that we haven't heard about. But basically, 13 new tenants heading to Disney Springs, and these are a combination of restaurants, shopping and dining experiences, and I won't go into the full description. It's quite a lengthy article, but Zara, which is owned by the Inditex Group, is largest fashion retail. It's known for its men's and women's clothing. Tommy Bahama, which we all know what that is. Lilly Pulitzer, which is a resort wear brand. Uniqlo, which is a leading global retailer in designs, they manufacture and sell casual apparel. That comes from Japanese values. Pandora, which we all know what that is. UGG, which is recognized as Tom Brady's favorite shoes, and we'll skip right over that and keep moving. L'Occitane in Provence, which is international skincare and beauty line. Edward Byner, which I think you might have mentioned a couple shows ago, is eyewear designer. Disney Springs Dining, Edison, which is inspired by the Edison venue in Los Angeles. Sprinkles, I think we've mentioned this, the world's first cupcake bakery. Blaze Fast Fired Pizza, which is a modern day pizza joint known for its custom built artisanal pizzas.
Yeah, 40 fresh toppings, it's supposed to be.
Nice.
All for one price.
Yeah.
$99.99.
Yeah, right. Keep it under 100. Yeah. Vivolo Gelateria, which is expertly crafted gelato made with fresh seasonal ingredients, and they're going to have panini sandwiches and espresso drinks. I think we mentioned that. And then the Tea Traders by Joffrey, which we had previously mentioned. So again, many things opening up. Some of them are already opened. Some of them will be opening soon. And if those that aren't, you know, by the end of this year, a lot of this stuff or most of this stuff is going to be open. So this is really heading to the final stretch here down at Disney Springs.
Yeah, the thing that there's a couple I don't get. I mean, Sprinkles, and then now there's two. There's going to be two cupcake companies down there, isn't there?
Yeah, with the, is it Lauren McKinnon Bakery there?
Yeah, the Aaron McKinnon's Bakery Aaron. In New York City. And then the other thing I'm all for all of it. The more stores, the better. I'm a happy kid. But, like, now you have you got Apex by the Sunglass Hunt. Now you're going to have this other eyeglass company. And then you got the Blaze Fast Fired Pizza, and you got Wolfgang Puck's. You're going to have you're going to have, like, three pizza opportunities down there now.
Right. Well, I you know, whether it be Disney or outside companies, which there's a mix of both down there. I mean, these companies do their market research, and they calculate, you know, the expected guest, you know, how many people are going to be run through there, and they have calculations. So if they didn't feel that they could turn a profit with the amount of people that are going to be down there, they wouldn't open. So,
well, it's pretty much, I understand what you're saying. Like, Disney, I don't think really cares. They're just going to lease the buildings, and if it fails, they'll put something else in there. Right. I just think these companies think they're going to beat the other one out. And Blaze Pizza better be darn good to beat out Wolfgang Puck Pizza for me.
Yeah, but you got to look at it too. Yeah, no, I agree.
I'm just kidding here. You know,
no. Yeah, but it's a high
place. You know,
high bar that was set. But I think what I was getting at is, you know, if let's just say on the average day 100,000 people go to downtown Disney, I don't know, that may be crazy high or crazy low, but you know, if with all these new offerings and new restaurants and new amenities down there, there's now going to be 250,000 people going down there. Everyone can't get into Wolfgang Puck's, whether you like the pizza or not. You know what I mean? So they must feel that they need more offerings, or at least, you know, more opportunities, so that guests that are hungry will be able to eat and not wait in line at Wolfgang's for 3 hours because it's the only pizza joint.
No, I'm happy to try anything. I was just looking, you know me, I like I like trying different things. So, I mean, I'm surprised there isn't a new sushi bar going down there. I know you have it at the bowling alley, and you also
right.
have it inside Wolfgang Puck's, but I'm like saying, why don't you have a counter service?
Yeah, I mean, but who knows? I mean,
there's
they're not done yet.
Coming.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Just speaking outside the box, there's no Chinese food down there.
Yeah, I don't remember on the food trucks what they have, if anything. They might have some of those offerings, but
yeah,
switch
it up a little bit. I'm just making a point. I'm just looking for different. You see two sunglass places. I mean, hopefully it covers. There's enough for the crowds are big enough. When you were getting yours, were you being pushed out of the way for the next person coming through?
And there was probably three other guests that were, you know, actively buying, and there was the manager and one person. So I wouldn't say I felt like it was pushed, but
I was being sarcastic.
No, but I wasn't the only one in there. I know what you're saying. If they were sitting there, you know, on their iPhones or whatever, waiting for somebody to come in, that would be a totally different thing. But again, I think that, you know, again, it always goes back to food for me, but it's just like when you go into any town USA and you say, how can there be a Burger King, a Wendy's, and a McDonald's all
everybody
on
likes
the same
a different
block?
Taste. I used
right.
to be a McDonald's man, now I'm a Wendy's man.
Right, but I mean, again, it's saturated, and again, those companies are there right next to each other because they know that the density of the population of a certain area warrants them being open, and they can turn a profit. So I don't really see a problem with multiple stores that may, you know, or some people have brand loyalty, just like you with the Pepsi or you, like you said, with Wolfgang's or whatever. I mean, you may never ever go to another pizza joint down there because you love Wolfgang so much, and other people may say, no, I don't really care for that pizza.
But with me, when I'm down there for the week, I like to try a couple new things, but when I'm down there, I like to get the old standby, the Wolfgang, because it's like home to me.
Yeah.
But when we eventually move there, because it's going to happen, then yeah, I'll go over to that pizza place. But you know, when you're down there for a week, we've talked about this a million times, where you want to do, I make myself every trip try a couple different restaurants. But also, I have my two or three that I eat. I have to have the same thing every time.
Right.
So, yeah, but I'm looking forward to it.
And that's what's going to be a challenge about the new Disney Springs, because there's just so many new things. You know, it's just human nature. You tend to want to try them or at least go in them. So, you know, it's not only that you want to get out of your comfort zone and eat somewhere else, but, you know, like Morimoto's or whatever. I mean, we haven't even seen a menu or anything yet, but I think you said you were excited to,
absolutely,
you know, eventually go there. So, you know, that
100%. And we have to say, without a doubt, this is the most exciting time time for me to be a Disney fan ever, because every time you turn around, there's something new. This reminds me of the Eisner era.
Yeah.
But I was just coming in as it was ending up. If you that was our first times down there, 97, 98. So don't you feel like we caught the tail end of that then?
Yeah. Things were just kind of settling down. The Animal Kingdom was just opening up, and they went to the four parks. But you're right, and it kind of, I don't want to say it stagnated. I mean, we had new attractions over that time period, but nothing.
One thing at a time. I mean, like right now, you have work going. The Polynesian is just finishing up. Now we're talking about the Wilderness Lodge. You got all Disney Springs going on. You got Avatar Land going on. You got things going on at the Magic Kingdom, the back lot. I mean, they're going to redo that. You got Star Wars Land pre-announced. You got things about, I mean, there's things everywhere. I just wish they could keep up and get things done faster like Universal does.
Right. Wink, wink. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but they're one little thing that they do at one,
right.
You know, that's all they got going on.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like this, and I think we all do to a certain extent. I mean, in a way, I just love all this construction to be done and just let the resort get back to normal like I remember it being. But maybe it will never be normal, because if you're not doing something new, you're, like I said, you're stagnating. And it seems as of late that, you know, they're always going to have something going on. But you know what I mean? When you love to go on a Disney trip and there's no construction walls anywhere and things are all completed, everything's open, and you can just enjoy the resort and the amenities without, you know, all the construction and hullabaloo going on.
Yes and no. Yes, I do, because it would be better for me at that point. I wish they could just stop for the week and then start all over again, so I'm all surprised the next time I come. Like, just give me the week off. Take the walls down for me, then put them back up when I leave.
Right.
No, but and the other hand is, though, is if Walt was still alive, I believe this is how it would be, because he never stopped.
Right, right.
So
exactly.
It's kind of like the parks are alive with him breathing in it again. It's kind of like exciting. Like, I know if he was here, this is exactly what he'd be doing constantly. It would never end for him, because it didn't end when he was alive.
Right, and even the things that he built or designed or whatever, he always was tweaking them and updating them and plussing them, as they say. So, you know, you're right, and that's been a company philosophy since, you know, Walt and his brother started the company. I agree. But you know what I mean. It just seems like the last handful of years, things have just been so – I mean, you know, you didn't even mention, they're bringing a major ramp off of, you know, Route 4 right into the Disney Springs district. I mean, that place is all torn up. You know, the buses can't even get through that way, you know,
exactly.
Coming from Typhoon Lagoon.
And then you have the West End that they're talking about, all the building. The permits are still filed for over there. But to be honest with you, I'm happy. You know why? Because, on the other hand, for my industry, construction makes it's a happy thing. It's like the heart's beating again. It's nice to see, because things were slow for a long time for everybody. It's nice to see the blue collar man actually working again.
Yeah, I mean, with the economy what it was, and, you know, even going way back to, you know, 9/11 and all that stuff, I mean, you're right. A lot of projects were on ice. I mean, look at Pop Century, which ended up being the Art of Animation, or the second half, if you will. But you're right. A lot of things, you know, companies or board of directors, they were skittish to appropriate money to do these projects because, you know, the economy was so shaky. So you are right in that regard. It's good for us as Disney fans, but it's good for the economy in general, both in Central Florida and, you know, across the country as a whole.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm excited too, because it might make them also start. They're going to have to, and we've said this on shows, and I'll keep repeating it because that's what we do. That's what we're here for. Sorry, guys. But honestly, they have to do something in the moderate and value area. They have to give more rooms. They have to make more rooms, because when all these specials go on and things are booked, it's hard to find a room you want in some cases when I'm booking for customers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's got a budget, every family's different, and, you know, it seems like they're putting in a lot of high-end stuff right now, but you would hope or think that they would, you know, I know they were big into doing the family suites there over at the Art of Animation, and that seemed to be a big need, and they addressed that somewhat. I think they still could use more, but you as a travel agent, I'm sure you deal with that all the time when you start to get a family of five or more. You know, are you in the two rooms or can you do a suite or whatever? But, you know, maybe we'll see some more of those type buildings or resorts.
Again, I would love to see something. I would love to see another moderate come in.
Yeah, moderate or value. I mean,
one of each. I mean, I think it's there. It needs to be. I think what they're depending on is the West Side to do it. I mean, and I love the idea, because I think more and more people are going to go over to, like, I'm hoping to try it on one of my next visits, the B Resort and stuff on Hotel Plaza Boulevard. I mean, because that's they're the rates, you know, you can afford. You get higher end stuff and you can afford the rates over there.
Yeah, I mean, that's an alternative, obviously, you know, either that or a vacation home or whatever. I mean, there's stuff off property, although, as we always say, the bee is on property.
Yes.
But, you know, but you're right. There are other options other than Disney hotels. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, what you're getting at is you'd like to see Disney hopefully, you know, build or design some themed, you know, some of their own themed resorts right on property.
Absolutely, because right now, I mean, to be honest with you, like, when these specials come out, I mean, Riverside a lot of times completely abandoned because that's the number one resort, and I would like to see that if something else was built, that would give more of an opportunity maybe to get some deals over at Riverside, because right now everybody jumps on that first.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, I had heard somewhere, I don't remember what podcast I was listening to or something, but even a lot of times Riverside is so popular, they're not included in
some
of the
deals.
That
was me. I told you that.
Okay.
Yeah, the last couple free dining, there was no rooms available at Riverside.
Right.
And if it is available on any of these specials, it's always the Princess rooms.
Right.
The highest end stuff. Like years ago, when you would have these, you would have the standard room. They'd have a big lot of them available all the time. Mm-hmm. Now you don't have a chance at that anymore.
Well, now I remember what I was listening to. It was Radio Harambe last night. You're not going to like this, but anyways, part of the reason, at least, you know, the good folks over there were saying, Mike and them, that Disney is gradually weaning guests off of free dining. Free dining is going to go away because things are too good. And you know my position on this. I know we disagree. It can't go away quick enough as far as I'm concerned, because I think it's destroyed the menus and the offerings down there. But I won't go on that rant now. But anyways, they were just saying that it's more limited in what they offer for free dining now as far as available packages. And their rationale, at least, was that, you know, Disney just doesn't want to pull the plug on free dining just out of the blue, because it'd be, you know, people would be upset that have been accustomed to this perk, if you will, every year. But, you know, the way they view it, and they had some information, I don't recall exactly what it was, but don't be surprised if over the next couple of years that the resorts and the number of packages being offered for free dining don't get smaller and smaller and eventually go away.
Yeah, well, that's a shame. I mean, I'm on the other hand of that. I think they just did that for their own monetary value, change their menus. I think it would have been that way anyway, because it makes it easier. It's more streamlined for them.
Yeah,
I mean, even with some of this stuff, like I heard, the other day I was listening to WDW Today, and they were talking about every resort now has flatbread. It's like, when did flatbread become so, but it's like, because they can mass produce it.
Right. Well, I mean, and they, you know, I'd like to believe they do market surveys and they want to give the guests what they want. But, you know, it's probably a little of both at the end of the day.
Absolutely. But anyway, I want more moderate resorts and keep free dining.
Yeah.
And you want to get rid of it. You want to get rid of everything, but you want to be alone in the park by yourself.
No.
I'm kidding with you.
You know, and you know this, and we don't need to go over it again. I mean, you know, you can call it free dining all you want. It is not free. You're paying for it, or somebody's paying for it. It's a smoke and mirrors thing. Exactly.
The time you can save by using the 30% discount.
Exactly.
And depending on where you're staying. I mean, the moderate resort, it pretty much breaks even.
Right.
Now, the Lux, yeah, the free dining, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. It depends on where you're staying. Yeah, same thing with the value. I mean, you get the... A lot of people like it for the convenience of it. They feel like they're getting something out of their package. Either they're paying one way or the other.
Right. But not to say, I mean, as we know, you can add a dining plan to your package if they didn't have free dining. If it's an issue of, hey, I just want to make sure my dining's, you know, prepaid and I don't have to worry about it. Although you do, because you don't get an appetizer and the tip's not included, so you still got to keep some money aside. But I know what you mean. Some people just like not having that stress of, you know, worrying about, you know, paying out of pocket for meals.
I tell them to do what we do. I tell them to go put $500 or $1,000 on a gift card and be done with it.
That's what we do.
And then just keep handing it, and it's done. And you write in your tip, and everything's good, and it's over with. But it's just, I don't know. It's just people like the idea of seeing, like when you give them the dining plan bill on top of it after you book it, then they go, well, I had dining. And then you tell them that number, they almost pass out.
Yeah, I mean, those of us that go all the time know that, you know, you're – food down there is pretty much your biggest cost. I mean, it may end up being your resort if you're staying at a deluxe or even a moderate for that matter. But right after that, food is right up there. And, you know, we have it lucky now, our family. I mean, if it's just my wife and I traveling, we're like we hit the lottery. I mean, you know, it's been a lot of years since, you know, usually we're paying for four or five people at a whack. And to just pay for two, it's like, oh, man, this is great, you know. know, for what, you know, we were used to paying double what we're paying now when we go down for an average week-long vacation. So, you know, it's a windfall for us.
Yeah, we've been there many times because we take the godchildren. I know what you're talking about, my mother-in-law. We've been down there 8-10 people, and me and Brenda's always the buying group, you know.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of changes, and I'm happy with it. It's like every day you turn on the computer, something is happening down there, and that makes me happy, actually.
Yep, a lot to look forward to, and you know, like we always say, it's always changing. There's always something new down there, and that's certainly true nowadays. So even if you've been many, many times, next time you go, there's a new store, a new restaurant, a new attraction, or something you can see that you've never seen before. So that's great news.
So that's about it for the news, then?
Yeah, unless you want to cover some Star Wars stuff, but I'm good with that stuff. Star Wars weekend, I think this was the first weekend. It was last weekend. Whatever. Either last weekend or this weekend. But that's in full swing, and those that love...
Yeah, Star Wars weekend did start at the beginning of May, and if everybody who listens to our show, you know that we like Star Wars, but we're not crazy about it. But all the festivities are going on strong. And do you have anything else you want to say about Star Wars weekend?
No. Only in that if that's what you enjoy, this is the time of year to head down there because they have all kinds of special shows and dining opportunities and merchandise opportunities. So, again, if you're a Star Wars fan, definitely get to the studios over the next 4 or 5 weekends.
Oh, if you're a Star Wars nut, it's all for you, man. For me, it's avoid, avoid, avoid. May the Force be with you guys.
There you go.
So what me and Den's going to do for the second part of the show this week is we're going to do our top 10 dark rides. And we made our own class, so if you guys want to yell at us for leaving something out or whatever, it might show up in one of our different categories. We're going to do multiple categories and rate them by how WDW Main Street enjoys that ride. Sound good to you, Den?
That sounds awesome.
So we came up with a consensus top 10, but we don't know what me and Dennis might have them in different orders. We haven't told each other yet. But the ones that didn't make the top 10 were Nemo came in at 16 for us. Journey into Imaginations was 15. Winnie the Pooh was 14. The Three Caballeros was 13, which my wife did not like that. Buzz Lightyear was 12, and Little Mermaid, the newest Disney attraction, didn't make the cut. It came in at number 11, which me and Den were back and forth on that last night.
Right.
So our consensus top 10 will go in order. Me and you'll go back and forth, and we'll try to make a final top 10. How's that sound?
That sounds like a plan.
So you go first. What came in at number 10 for you?
Okay, number 10 dark ride for me is It's a Small World After All.
Okay.
I know that's a classic attraction, and if you would ask me, you know, what's your favorite ride at Disney World, that would never come up in conversation. But I do have a sentimental part of me. That likes that attraction because, it's one of the originals, and we have one at Disney World and other theme parks around the world, and Walt had a hand in designing that. So it did make my top 10, but just barely. I mean, there's probably ones that you mentioned in the also-rans that I probably, if you put a gun to my head, would have chosen one of them over It's a Small World, but it did make my top 10 given its sentimental value.
Well, that actually came in at number 7 for me.
Okay.
And the reason that came in at number 7 for me is it's the first thing I ever went on when I went to Disney World. And I have that memory in my head forever because my wife, we went down Main Street, and the first place she wanted to go is see It's a Small World because she remembered it when she was a little girl because the last time she was down there was like 77, 78. She
right.
went 76 for the centennial year, and then they went another time or two, and then she hadn't been back since. And that blew her away that it was identical to when she was a little girl.
Right.
And I remember the look on her face and riding through there, and that was the very first ride I ever went on at Disney, so that always has sentimental value for me, so that's why it came in at number 7 for me.
All right. What do you have at number 9?
Well, my number 10 I got to give you. came in at 7. Number 10 came in Allen's Universe of Energy for me. And I know other shows and everybody thinks this ride is long in the tooth and blah, blah, blah. And I think it could be updated, but I don't want to get rid of it. I really enjoy this ride myself for two reasons. One, it's a nice way to cool down, spend 40 minutes off your feet, and you're very entertained throughout, I think. Don't you, Dan?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, the back and forth between Ellen and the professor there, his name escapes
me. Bill Nye, the science guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, and the dinosaurs, you know, a little long in the tooth, no pun intended. But, you know, sure, they're not as, you know, they're not as ferocious as dinosaur over at the Animal Kingdom or something like that. But for what the attraction is, and I think the ride vehicles are pretty unique. You know, they're one of a kind, if you will, to move that many people through all the show scenes. And, you know, some of the information or the science data, if you will, is a little dated. I mean, that's so old now. And, you know, with all the green energy and, you know, solar and stuff, which they do address in the show, but you can learn a little bit of something. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people just want to get rid of this attraction and put something totally different in there. But I really do think they could keep the energy theme, you know, whether they get new actors or they get Ellen. I don't know if they could even do that now, but to redo it. I mean, I think they could save the attraction. I mean, I kind of like it too, Doug. I agree with you. It's not something I hate, although I know some people despise it and haven't gone in there in years, but I don't mind that attraction at all.
Well, to me, it's kind of like nostalgia. It's kind of like some of the other ones we're going to have on here to me. I don't understand what... I know it needs to be updated. I know things like that, but half the rides on our list here could use an update.
Yeah, and it's funny too. I was just thinking back, Doug, how we stick the sentimental tag on some of these or whatever. But like when we were talking about Indiana Jones, you know, we can't wait to get rid of it. Why don't we have the same, you know, affection for an attraction like that that's, you know, 20 odd years old as well?
I don't know, and you're right. It's just weird, and I have the affection for this, but I don't for that. It's
right.
Weird. It's just how I think it's how your family is toured, how you were brought up in the Disney culture, like what your favorite things were will always be.
Right, right.
It's like my family still loves me after all these years. I don't get it. So for you, where did Ellen come in then?
7 also.
So those two flop for us. So
yep.
Okay,
you added a 10 or 9?
I added a 10. So 10. What's your number 9?
All right, my number 9 is Peter Pan. And for the reasons you just said, I think that's why this is where it is on my list. This is an attraction that I really haven't been on that much because it's such a pain to get on.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, I've done it probably, I don't know, maybe a half a dozen times over the years. But more often than not, it's an attraction I don't do unless we're doing rope drop. And usually I wouldn't want to burn a fast pass on that, so we skip it or we don't do it. But when I do get on it, it's, you know, it's not a bad attraction. It's one of the Magic Kingdom staples, if you will, and it's wildly popular. And it is good when you're in it, but when you finally do get on it. But it's a very slow loading ride, and it doesn't have a lot of capacity, so the lines for this particular attraction seem to be unbelievably long.
It's always long. I mean, I'm the next time we get down, because we were down the last time they were actually doing the queue, so we will definitely go on it the next time we're down. And that also came in at number 9 for me, so we're down. I can't wait to see the new queue. I'm actually excited about that. You know how much I like the queues. I like to grade the queue.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's the same thing. It's so hard to get on. It's cool as heck when you get up on it, because it's a unique ride. It's different than anything else in the park. That's what's nice about it. But I don't fight to get on either. The 4 or 5 times, however many times we've been on it, it's been the same way as you. Park after extra magic hours where I could walk right on it.
Right.
Or it was a rainy day where everybody split, or me going down in the least crowded time of the years. There's every once in a while where we can get to the Magic Kingdom early in the morning or stay late at night, and there's hardly anybody there. So there are the times I've done it. But, like, last trip down, we thought we it would, the line was a Darren, and we got fooled by the way they had the lines changed because of construction going on. We're like, oh, this is hardly anything. And then next thing we know, we're like, oh, my goodness. Nope, not doing it.
Right, right. So. Yeah, it's a very frustrating attraction. But again, it's a, you know, a Disney classic, if you will. It's a classic movie and all that good stuff. So it definitely, you know, made it into my top 10.
Okay, number 8 for you, Dan.
Number 8 for me is Toy Story Midway Mania. You know, this is one that I can take it or leave it. You know, if I can grab a fast pass, we do it. I've done it, you know, multiple times. You know, Mr. Potato Head, you know, that audio animatronic is awesome when it's working. And, you know, the bad thing about using the fast pass is, as you always say, Doug, is you do miss out on the queue line, which in the, on this attraction, I think the queue line, in my view, is better than the attraction itself. but that's just me. But, you know, it made it on the top 10, deservingly so, or my top 10, I should say. But, you know, it didn't make it very high. I know some people really, really love this attraction. Like I said, I'm not a gamer, so that doesn't really appeal to me. I mean, it's fun, but, you know, I'm kind of done that once or twice or whatever it's been. And, I, you know, if I never do it again, it wouldn't bother me a bit.
Okay, yeah. See, I love this ride. Toy Story came in at number 6 for me.
Okay.
And I love the queue as much as I like the ride. Me and Brenda's very competitive, so we can't wait to get on. And we'll do it a couple times, a lot of trips, to see who wins. Just, mm-hmm. We enjoy that. That's just, I think it's fun. I mean, and you feel like you had a workout when you get off of it.
Yeah, yeah, your forearms are, all your muscles are tightened up.
Yeah, but not just that, it gives you like an adrenaline rush too, because you're sitting there, and when you come out, you see everybody lean back, like right after they ate Thanksgiving dinner.
Right.
Pay attention, everybody, once they push the gun forward. Everybody's like back in a relaxed position, like, whew.
Right.
Man,
right.
I was just in a gunfight. But it just, you know, next time you're waiting and you see the people unload, look how right. They look. It's like everybody's like in a cool down period.
Right, right.
But yeah, that came in at number 6 for me.
Okay.
Okay, so what's number 8 for you, Dan? I mean, number 8 for me came in, it was Living with the Land.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my number 8. I don't know, this ride will always be special to me. That was another one, the very first year we were down there, that it was like so cool. And again, back then it had the boat captain, so I missed the captains very, very much. If I had one thing, like, there you go, the other day, did you listen to the Be Our Guest podcast? I'm going to call into the live show tonight. And that's one of the things where they were saying upgrade or make something just a little bit better. Any of the rides, did you listen to that show?
I don't think I listened to that one yet, Doug.
Okay, so there's things that they want to change about certain rides. And if I could change anything on any of the rides, this would be one of the first things I would do. I would bring back the skippers, because I think that made this ride 1,000 times better, the interaction.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's similar to Jungle Cruise. I mean, if you had a good skipper or captain or whatever they called them on Living with the Land, I mean, it can make all the difference, and it can make a, you know, it's kind of a slow, bland type attraction, and it's educational. But, you know, if you had somebody adding in some, you know, some facts and figures and maybe even a little joke here and there, not that they joke as much as on the Jungle Cruise, but it still made it more of an interactive attraction. And I agree with you. It kind of lost some of its luster when they went to the canned you know, programmed voiceover, if you will, on the ride vehicles.
Yeah, the audio, the yeah. Audio was.
Yeah,
I don't know. It just makes it not as human. It's simple as that sounds. It's
right,
because you'd be able to ask questions. Like I wrote it a couple times. Like after you got to see it, then you started to ask about different things. How, where do the animals go from here? Where does all the vegetables go? Like you can have interaction with somebody and learn something more besides listening to the same spew over and over again.
Nah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, everyone seems to think it was a money issue, and maybe it was. I don't know. But, yeah, that would be definitely something that if they brought him back, I think would make a lot of people happy.
And where did that come in for you, Dan?
Living with the Land come in at number 6 for me.
Okay, so I can write that down. Okay, so what's your 7, Dan?
Seven was Ellen. We
okay.
covered that already.
And mine was, okay, so we're down to six was Toy Story Mania for me. What was your number six? Was Living with the Land.
With the
so
land,
what's your
yep.
number five, Dan?
Number five, Dark Ride at Walt Disney World for me is Dinosaur. I love this attraction. I mean, it's a little herky-jerky. Again, I think we were talking about this a couple shows back that, you know, maybe they've made some adjustments that it's not as herky-jerky as it once was. But nevertheless, you kind of got to be prepared to, you know, take some sharp turns and jarring and, on this attraction. But I think it's exciting. I think they do a good job with, you know, kind of pumping it up and the little pre-show there when they tell you you're going to go back and bring back a dinosaur and all that. I mean, you know, not that it's realistic, obviously.
Oh, you're in the little inside. He's talking to you. He's giving you an inside secret. You
got
to love that.
Exactly.
Brings out the geek in you.
Yeah, and I mean, the dinosaurs themselves are great, the way they, you know, have them kind of jump out at you, and, you know, everyone gets that, you know, the picture when the dinosaur comes out. And, you know, if it's somebody's first time, they're usually petrified when that giant dinosaur comes out and screams at the ride vehicle. But, yeah, I just love this attraction. I think they did a great job with it, and it's one of my favorites on property.
It's the first place I go when I get to Animal Kingdom. Unless I had a big brick breakfast. If we did a breakfast buffet, then no. But if
right.
you know, if we've had a normal breakfast, this is the first ride I usually go to. Either
yeah.
there or Kilimanjaro, left or right, depending
right.
on the you know the morning or how the crowds are. But I usually Dinosaur came in number two for me.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I just love everything about this ride. We could do the same list after I went on my next trip, and it could be my favorite ride overall. That it's always in my top 10 of everything in the parks. I love Dinosaur. I, you know, Felicia Rashad, the whole thing. I just enjoy the whole everything about the show. It's unique. It's different from anything else in the park. You don't feel like you've been there, done that before.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, and you're right. It builds up an excitement, and you know, even the queue line with the big the dino that's out there, the skeleton or the bones, whatever you want to say. I mean, it's
cool.
got a museum feature to it, but you know, if you read all the plaques and look at the pictures, it's all building up to, you know, the story that they tell when you go back in time and bring this dino back allegedly. So yeah, it's they do a great job with this. Attraction, and the good thing about it, I'm pretty sure that this is the case, that you know, even with Fast Pass Plus, you're able to get Kilimanjaro Safaris and Dinosaur. You know, there's no tiers at Animal Kingdom,
that's what we did.
Right. So yeah. So if at Mount Everest, if Expedition Everest isn't your thing, or even if it is your thing, you can, you know, you can bang those three major attractions out via Fast Pass, and you know, then enjoy some of the more subtle things about Animal Kingdom, the you know, different where the gorillas are and all that stuff, and Expedition Station or whatever it is out there. So
Conservation Station.
Conservation Station. There you go. Thank
but
you.
And the other thing with this ride is this is definitely one of the rides where you want to switch sides, because like the one time we were there, my brother-in-law, he kept sitting on the left and I kept getting the big dinosaur, the one that screams in your face.
Right, right.
And they would giggle. Then finally I got him over there and it totally changed, because the way you're bucking around in this vehicle so bad, it's hard to concentrate on everything. So if you switch sides on this ride, you get a different experience every time you ride it. And also in the front and the back. Because the back
right.
bucks way more than the front does.
Right, right.
So, I mean, if you don't want to be thrown around that much, ask to be put in the front and wait a turn. Because you will be bucked twice as much in the back than you are in the front.
Right,
it's
right.
just the way the ride pops up back there, it just feels like you're going to fly out sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I have sat, you know, in multiple, probably all the different seats that are available. And, yeah, I think I have noticed it in the back. It tends to be a little rougher a ride than in the front.
Yeah, you feel like you're a bucking bronco back there.
Yeah.
Well, number five for me then was Spaceship Earth. And any of these top five could have been flopped around, just like I'm sure yours is real close to that.
Right, right.
Yeah, number five for me was Spaceship Earth. This ride never gets old. I never complained it needed to be updated. It was cool that they added the computers and stuff at the end a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always I just love this ride. This ride falls into It's a Small World and the rest of them as Disney classics for me that I hope they never get rid of. I don't really want it totally changed, do you?
Oh, no, no. I mean, this is, you know, I'll just say it now because we're covering it. I mean, this is number one on my list.
Okay.
You know, and I agree with you, Doug. Any of the next four we're going to cover, you know, on any given day could be in any given order. I mean, they're all, you know, big time Disney classic dark ride attractions, and they're beloved for many, many reasons. But given Epcot is my favorite theme park, I went with Spaceship Earth because, you know, it's one of my favorite dark rides for the reasons you said. And, you know, it's educational, the audio animatronics, although they're older, they're very, very well done. And I always see something different in this this attraction. I mean, I've sat on both sides on this for that very reason, so I can see real well, you know, on one side or the other. But it always seems like if you stare into one of the scenes and look at a different audio animatronic or try to see what's written in a book or what picture might be on the wall or something, you can always find a little tidbit.
The numbers on the operator board, just all different things. It's just enjoy and watch. I mean, it's just amazing how cool that ride is. That was my dad's favorite when we were there.
Right.
He was in his own zone there. Leave me alone. I'm looking, man. Don't talk to me. I could see it. Because I'd be like, Dad, look over there. Dad, look over there. So we got on again. He goes, this time, shut up.
Right.
I said, okay, point taken, Dad. But it's a great ride. It's a relaxing ride. It's a cool ride. The last time, though, we were there, we actually got stuck on the climb up.
Right.
I'll tell you what, I don't know what they were doing or unloading, but we got stuck there for 10, 15 minutes, and those seats, man, are not conducive to hanging out for a long time. I'm spinning around. I was like I had ants in my pants trying to get comfortable with my back.
Yeah, those are those hard plastic seats, and you're right, there is no padding on them. And
I can feel every disc of my spine touching the plastic in there.
Yeah, when you're at that angle going up, and it goes up fairly steep because they got to get you up to the top there. Yeah, there's definitely some G-force pushing back on you, pinning you to that ride vehicle, so I know exactly what you mean.
The only thing that saved me was my sister-in-law and my wife sat in the cart behind me. So I had a whole cart to myself, so I was spinning around like a top on that thing.
Yeah, you had plenty of room, right?
Thank goodness. Because I was in pain without it and would have in all that room.
Right, right.
So what's number five for you, Dan?
Number five for me was Dinosaur.
Dinosaur is number four now.
Number four for me is The Great Movie Ride.
And that shocks me because it's four for me also. But what shocks me is I thought that might be your number one.
Yeah, I mean, I could have went with that and I wouldn't have had a problem with it, but you know, again, trying to, you know, it's like having four kids and trying to say which one's your favorite. I mean, it's really, at this point, there's really no arguing about it because each of them is great in their own right for their own reasons. And you can't go wrong with any of the ones that we're going to mention, one through four.
No, Great Movie Ride is awesome. The only reason it's four for me is I do wish there was now, I know we've argued this multiple. I mean, I'm going to contradict myself, but there are a couple scenes in here I wish would finally be updated to make it to put it over the top again for me. Because there's a couple things like, again, and I don't know if anybody's a big fan, but the alien part annoys me.
Right.
I'm just not into that. There's a couple things in there that I wish they would upgrade. I wish they would add something more Disney. Like my favorite part, one of the favorite things that I'll ever do that I've always been amazed by is the Wizard of Oz area. That's incredible the way they did that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's another one where, you know, over the years, if you tried to look at each and one of those little munchkins.
It's overwhelming when they're all going off in there. You don't know which way to look. It's like bees flying all around you.
I wish you could
go slower through there to see more of it.
Exactly. And you are right, Doug. I mean, that's probably one of the most intricate show scenes on Disney property. And, you know, I remember the first time we you know, and it worked out well that we happened to be in the cart that kind of stopped right in front of where the witch comes up. And that is so well done and so realistic. And, you know, it's just they did a great job on that scene. And
thank God they never got rid of cast members in there. Could you imagine if they just played audio on that, which they hypothetically could?
Yeah.
All they would have to have is two actors at the acting scene and just let the carts run. I mean, I don't know if they're actually doing anything with the carts. I guess they are. They keep putting them in gear and taking them out of gear, but I'm sure with technology today, the Ellen ride don't need a driver. I'm sure they could do something with that, but please don't ever take away the cast members on this ride.
Right.
I think they sell the ride.
Right. And, you know, I agree with you, Doug. Just because it's you know, one of my favorites, I certainly agree that it could use some updating. And, you know, I agree with the alien area. And, you know, even the Fantasmic where they show, you know, Sorcerer Mickey on the wall there. I mean, you know, the story goes that that was supposed to be a whole show scene. And for budgetary reasons or whatever, they cut it out. But it's, you know, kind of hokey that, you know, one of their main characters and a beloved character, you know, Mickey Mouse and particularly Sorcerer Mickey, and all they got is a little cheesy movie playing on the wall. I mean, they're not doing it justice in my mind. Alien out and put a proper show scene in of, you know, Sorcerer Mickey.
Absolutely. And like, don't ever take away, like, I love looking at the Duke because it reminds me of my pop, because that was his, every week you went to his house, there would be John Wayne movies on or Westerns.
Right.
So I love that whole scene. And Casablanca, don't ever take that out. The propeller going off and on every single time blows me away. Just goofy, but it's there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I know we went back and forth on this, and I agree with you. I mean, you know, same thing. John Wayne, my grandfather and father, I remember them watching those movies, and I watched many of them.
I've seen every John Wayne movie, and I'll watch them again if they're on, if I'm flipping through channels.
Right, but what's going to happen is as we get older and the new generations come in, I mean, you know, there's people, I've heard them on the ride, that, you know, unless their parent or grandparent tells them, they don't even know who John Wayne is.
Well, then I'm going to start standing there with my iPad and playing John Wayne movies before people get on the ride, just so they know who he is. I know what you're saying.
Eventually, they're going to go away, and, you know, Michael Jackson will be in there or something.
Take that back. He can go in the singing department, but not in the movie department.
No, but you know what I mean.
I hear you.
Who is that? Is it Gene Kelly that does the singing in the rain?
Yeah, that's an awesome scene, too.
Right. But it is for you and I, but for, you know, some 20-something or a teenager, they have no idea and could care less.
Well, thank God for So You Think You Can Dance and Dancing with the Stars, because they actually still talk about Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire, so hopefully they keep it alive. And the young kids do watch that, so I'm praying.
Yeah, High School Musical will be in there soon.
Oh, stop it. What's your number three, my friend?
Number three, I went with Haunted Mansion.
We're matching up here. Number three is that for me, too.
Yeah, I mean, but, you
and
know.
We were upset about the refurb of that. Now we're all happy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they did a good job with it. I mean, it is, quote unquote, it's a classic, no doubt about it. And, you know, the music is catchy. And, you know, as we've said before, although it's called the Haunted Mansion, it's not, in my view, it's not scary by any means. It's more humorous if you really think about it and look at some of the scenes. I mean, you know, there's not any gore in there, if you will. It's just kind of a spoof, if you will, on, you know, a haunted mansion. And
it scares me, Dennis. I got to hold my hands with my wife's hand really, really firmly and get me through it, especially when them creepy ghosts follow me out at the end.
Yeah, I mean, that you know, as you mentioned, that was a great add to that, and it makes it a kind of a fun thing at the end.
The only thing that creeps me out is the woman that's hanging at the top when you're leaving.
Oh, Little Leota?
Yeah, Little Leota, when she's there, she's pretty creepy to me, man.
Yeah, because she, you know, they get that, you know, the face is realistic, or it's real, if you will, and they do a good job.
She just freaks me out, man. I can't have my Dole Whip after I leave that for a couple minutes. I get a little creeped out by her.
Hurry back.
But no, the whole ride is awesome. I mean, it's just incredible. It's pure Disney. That was the third thing we went on our first time. We went, you know, that, and Brenda, there's not a trip that goes by that we don't have to do that a couple times for her. She loves that ride. That's her favorite.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. And that's another attraction, and I've started doing it. Not that I've started doing it, but I've gone over the top doing it to try to look back in the graveyard scenes. You know, don't look at the things that are right in front of the vehicle, but as you go further back, the lighting gets less and less, and you can't see as well. But you'd be surprised how much stuff is going on or different things that are back.
So, yes, I also then like to look back at the darker areas, try to find different things to look at. I mean, you could go in the Haunted Mansion 100 times and find something different to look at.
Yeah, because there are some obvious things that they want you to focus your attention on that, you know, do draw your attention. But, you know, certainly, you know, even that ballroom scene where the, you know, the big table is down there where the hidden Mickey is, you know, just all the ghosts in there. I mean, you know, the guys that are having the gunfight there and the portraits and, you know, you can look at something different almost every time, and the king and the queen and all kinds of stuff. So I enjoy that attraction just for trying to find stuff that I've never seen before, because more often than not, I do find something that I've never seen.
Well, the thing that amazes me, like all Disney attractions, is how all the work and pieces that are going on, like the dancing ghosts and everything that's down there, how everything works. That's what amazes me. Like, how often do you go on a ride where there's not many things that are broken or not working properly?
Yeah.
Where it's broken down. Like, I mean, if you think about it, like, people get upset, rides down, especially Expedition Everest is down a lot, and Space and what you call a test track and stuff like that. But if you really think about it in the grand scheme of things, there's not many things broken down when you're there.
No, that's true. That, you know, although the audio animatronics or features within the Haunted Mansion are generally always working, but the ride track stops frequently, and that's, like you mentioned earlier, probably to load or unload, you know, somebody that needs handicap assistance or something like that. But almost every time, at least as of late, you know, it's been closed down, not closed down, but has stopped for some length of time while we were in there.
I actually enjoy that more. It makes you, especially if you're in a good area to look.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's good. That's
it lets you enjoy it more. I'll sit there, leave me here all day. If I got popcorn in my bag, I'm good to go.
Right.
Popcorn and a Pepsi, I'm good for a half hour in there. Let me see.
Yeah, and that's an attraction that, you know, it's nice and cold on a hot day. Usually the air's blowing through there like a wind tunnel, and it's nice and cool and relaxing here. You're absolutely right.
Okay, so what's your number two, then?
Number two is the only one left that we didn't cover that's a dark ride, as we could tell, is obviously Pirates of the Caribbean.
Absolutely, and that's number one for me.
Which I can't argue with that at all. I could wake up tomorrow and I'd have Pirates at number one.
well, Pirates for me being number one is for all the reasons I said earlier. We went into Magic Kingdom. I still remember it. My very first memory is being blown away by my train station. And then number two is going in the confectionery store. And I was like falling in love. We got on It's a Small World. I was leveling off. I thought it was awesome, but it was still blah, 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 blah. Yeah. You know, you right. Gotta love it. The first time right. It was awesome. But I was falling in love. And then when I got on Pirates, I was in love. I was hooked. Pirates is the reason why I became a Disney nut. Because when I got on that ride and started, I was blown away. I know it's nothing crazy. It's not what you would call a thrill ride, but it was thrilling to me because I had never seen anything like that in my life.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of and you're right, Doug. I mean, that's one that most Disney fans that have been going for any length of time got their first look at what an audio animatronic is. I mean, we might have seen it on TV or a show or something about Disney World, but to see them live in person and how they all are synchronized and they're singing and doing these different things. I mean, to me, that's what blows me away in that attraction.
It's the auction, the little pig there, the guy's hairy leg hanging down. I mean, all the authenticity, like all the extras that they put into it to make it so realistic, if you follow me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've started doing on this attraction, I've started focusing on the animals more than the pirates, just to see how many there are.
Little piglets sleeping are incredible. It's one of the best things. The cats. I mean, everything is awesome on that ride.
you got cats, you got chickens, you got the donkey, you got, you know, it's all kinds of stuff. If you just look and count up the animals, I mean, it's just mind-blowing how much stuff. And, of course, the iconic dog at the end with the key in his mouth.
He's the icing on the cake.
Right, right.
The very first time, I couldn't believe it. I was blown away. The only thing they ruined it with is Johnny sitting in the gold.
Yeah, see, I don't mind that.
No,
that,
I'm kidding.
To me, that's a throw-in at the end.
It's fine.
Your boat's just kind of queued up to get off at that point, so it's something to look at.
Yeah, the gold used to be there without him.
Right, right.
No, but I'm just saying, Johnny didn't ruin it for me. There's a couple funny scenes where his head's popping out of the barrel. That cracks me up. You know, it's all in good fun, you know, but I just love that ride. The ride totally, that's what put me in Disney debt. You know,
right.
To go back every single year. That's what put you in the same thing, buying Vacation Club. Rides like that.
Yep. Yeah,
that was the difference.
That is certainly it. And it's, as we know, it's going to close down for a good portion of the summer here. They're going to be reworking some of the boats and different things. So, unfortunately, if you're heading down this summer, you may have to not see one of your favorite dark rides. But from what I understand, it'll be back up at some point this fall. And I don't know what, if anything, will change, but they're doing a bunch of work to it.
Yeah, I can't. I'm hoping it's back up by the time I get down there. I'm hoping to go in the fall again is what we're shooting for. But, no, I mean, I don't like it. There's been the time when Johnny was being updating it is the only time we went down that I didn't get to go on it. You know, usually
right.
It's a couple times a trip. I love the times that we go because there's been times where I could literally walk right on it.
Right.
You walk all the way up to the boat ramp and hop in. Get off, go back on. And me and my godson, the time we did the Splash Mountain like 6 or 7 times in a row, we also did Pirates a couple times in a row.
Yeah,
They let us stay on.
Yeah, I've been on that attraction, you know, a few times where we've had a boat all to ourselves. It was that not crowded, if you will. And we did the same thing. We just went around a couple of times, and you know, it's kind of nice, and it gives you a different feeling when you don't have people all stuffed around you taking pictures and flashes and stuff, when you can really go through it and it's quiet in your boat because it's just you and somebody else or whatever. It even becomes a better attraction, I think.
Absolutely, because you can focus more on the ride and not other people around you like pointing or moving, and not that they shouldn't be.
Right.
It's just like you. Not just that, we're all nosy buddies. If somebody's talking, you automatically hear what they're saying. You know, it ain't like you want to, but
right.
It distracts you a little bit. It's nice when you're there by yourself.
And that's what I was going to say. You hear more things. You can hear some of the, you know, like when the pirates are talking, you know, when they're dunking the mare or something like that. I mean, you know, you can hear the loud audio, you know, whether people are talking in the boat or not, but you'd be surprised how many secondary tracks are there. Or, you know, this guy's murmuring to the pirate over in the corner, which you never really heard before, but, you know, in certain circumstances, you can pick up some additional audio that you might never have heard before.
Absolutely. That was the same thing with us, because we're going to be covering coasters and, you know, we have a couple different, we have thrill coasters and trains and we're going to do all different. We got like 4 of these we're going to do. But like even with Splash Mountain, the time that me and him kept going on, I seen so many things on that ride and heard so many things because we were the only two in the boat.
Right, right.
It was amazing. I was like, we were singing the whole way, but also I'd be like, shh, listen. And you could hear or see different. It's really interesting when you can get there by yourself. You can capture so much more of the little hidden gems.
Yeah, and those times are getting fewer and fewer, you know, opportunities to be in the park or on the attractions when there's not a lot of guests there. But like you mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of times on a rain day or a bad weather day, if you can stick
poncho
it out
up.
And hang in there, poncho up, and you might be able to experience some of these great attractions with little to no other guests in the area, which is always awesome.
So I'm going to recap our top 10 and both of our top 10s, and then we'll call it a week show. How's that sound, Dan?
Sounds good.
For me, at number 10 was Allen's Universe of Energy. Number 9 was Peter Pan. Number 8 was Living with the Land. Number 7 was It's a Small World. Number 6, Toy Story, Midway Mania. 5, Spaceship Earth. 4, Great Movie Ride. 3, Haunted Mansion. 2, Dinosaurs. And number 1 for me was Pirates of the Caribbean. You want to read yours?
Yeah, and for me, I had it number 10, It's a Small World After All. Number 9 was Peter Pan. 8, Toy Story Midway Mania. 7, Ellen's Energy Adventure. Number 6, Living with the Land. 5, Dinosaur. 4, Great Movie Ride. 3, Haunted Mansion. 2, Pirates of the Caribbean. And I had Spaceship Earth as my number 1.
And like you said, we could roll the top 5 for both of us, I think.
Oh, yeah.
We both had the same top 5.
Right.
It was just they were flopped around, and the second 10 was flopped around. But, like, any of those top 5 for me could be my favorite ride. It's just, yep. Pirates is just special to my heart, but they're all incredible. They're all, there's never been a trip where I didn't do all 5 of them unless one of them was closed.
Right. If it was available to go on, you've gone on it each and every trip.
And pretty close, the only one in the top 10 that I don't do on every single trip, believe it or not, is Peter Pan.
Right.
And that's just because it's such a pain in the butt to get on.
Right. No, I agree. And like I said, we usually go on It's a Small World After All, unless, you know, we're there at spring break or something and the line's...
Exactly. That ain't worth... If the line is as long as the movie theater gate, I'm okay with it. But once it starts spewing out into the alley there...
Forget it.
I'm on my way.
Exactly.
But they're the only two, but basically we do every one of them except for Peter Pan every trip, and that's only because the line is insane. It isn't that it's not worth it, but...
No, I agree, and just interesting. So, just real quick here, so... Yeah, Spaceship Earth and Living with the Land. So we have 2 at Epcot, then we got 1 at Animal Kingdom, 1 at Hollywood Studios, and 2 at Magic Kingdom. I was just curious how it broke out as far as across the 4 theme parks.
Yeah, so, the majority of them was at the Magic Kingdom. I mean, Dinosaurs is the only dark ride at Animal Kingdom.
Right, the rest of all shows are other, under another category, which we'll cover later. But, for some reason, I thought it would have been more heavily weighted to the Magic Kingdom, but it's actually tied with Epcot with 2.
In the top 5, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I mean, it was hard to put things in. The reason I put Dinosaur in this category is so it had a dark ride from that park, actually, because that could also go in another way. It could have been in the not the Mutt category, but the category that it didn't fit in, like Tower of Terror, Soarin', Mission Space. They'll all be in that category.
Exactly. Yeah, that was one that was a tweener. It could have fit into a couple of different categories, but I was comfortable putting it in this category because it is pretty dark on that ride. So,
It has the animatronics. It kind of beat it. A lot of the different aspects we wanted to put into this category. It fit more than it did. So,
right.
It had more checks for this category than it did against. So, I wanted to have something from the Animal Kingdom in here, and it showed pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's up there with some heavy hitters.
Yeah, and the only one that you don't like that as much as I do is Toy Story. Toy Story could have gone in the top 5 for me, but I know it was closer to the bottom 10 for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked off the air, but I mean, I almost could have pulled...
3 Caballeros in.
Either 3 Caballeros or even the Seas, not the Seas, but the...
The new Under the Seas with the Little Mermaid?
Yeah, I could have put that in there based on the audio animatronics, but again, that's just me.
Yeah, my wife's list, she wanted, like I said, she wanted the 3 Caballeros. She really enjoys that. We do that every single trip. 1, because we like it, but 2, it's so easy to get on. It's like you feel like a fool not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's nice and cool in there, and you're in out of the sun. I mean, I agree. Why not do it? It's not a very long attraction, and... Got a catchy little song to it, and it's a nice little boat ride.
Yeah, Buzz Lightyear out of the ones that were in the last 6 were I really like, and like you said, the Little Mermaid is awesome as far as the newness of it and the new animatronics, and I did like the ride. It isn't into my heart as much as these other ones are.
Yeah, it may take a few years to grow on us.
Yeah, the easiest one for me to put in was Nemo at 16. I usually pass right through that. I go in the back exit. And go up and look in the aquariums.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't put it that far down for 16 for me. I had Winnie the Pooh, Many Adventures in Winnie the Pooh, only because, and I've had to change my thinking on this for obvious reasons, but I never really accepted Winnie the Pooh as a Disney franchise because, you know, they kind of acquired it, and I don't know. I just always put it out there as well.
Tell my wife that. She loves her Pooh.
Yeah, no, and a lot of people do, but it was just me personally. Winnie the Pooh, but, you know, when somebody said Disney characters, I would never mention a Tigger I wouldn't do it, but, you know, because they acquired it and it wasn't a homegrown property, but obviously nowadays with Marvel and Star Wars and if I had that attitude,
I was just going to bite you for that. You're lucky you came up with that because I was ready to nail you with all that.
Oh, yeah, no, that's why I've had to change my thinking. So I'm not as hard on Winnie the Pooh as I used to be because that's the nature of the beast at Disney now. They tend not to come up with their own characters and movies anymore. They just buy other franchises, which
they're still doing okay with Pixar. Because I always can see, I'm different with you. I always consider Pixar Disney because they were a team when they started. They left and then they came back. So any of the Pixar characters, I can like Buzz, Woody, and all them, I consider them 100% Disney.
Yeah, I mean, I do now. I mean, but you're right. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast now, and it is what it is. But, I would say I have an affection for those characters more so than some of the others. But
yeah, because it all started, and I'll be honest with you, I love the fact that John Lasseter is a part of Disney. I think he keeps the P's and Q's in check because he's the most like Walt out of anybody that's left in that park, in my opinion, anything to do with the Disney franchise.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's like a big kid almost, you know, and Walt was as well. So, and he's a very talented guy.
And he runs Pixar the same way Walt would run Walt Disney Studios.
Right.
He's interactive with his, from everything I've seen, like I don't know him personally, but everything I've seen, if you look at the Pixar behind the scenes and we do the documentaries, it's kind of like Walt was with the storyboards with all his cast, all his creative, all the cast members, is the same way that John is with his. Like, he's part of the team, and that's what I like about Lasseter, and I was so happy when he was named part of the board.
No, I totally agree. It keeps somebody that's creative, you know, close to the, you know, goings-on at Disney, and anybody that would take his wife to go see Yeehaw Bob is all right in my book. He's
Absolutely.
There a couple times a year. You'll see on Twitter or Facebook he's there, and he's a regular guy when it comes to that stuff, and I love that about him as well.
There was just all kind of pictures of him everywhere throughout Walt Disney World a week or so ago.
Right.
I seen pictures with him with all different kind of cast members and common folk, poor folk like me and you, Dan.
Right.
But it's just nice that he's on the board and he's ahead of the parks, if you understand what I'm saying. Right. I'm glad. That gave me peace of mind when I found out that after that signing he became head of the parks and all. I'm glad he's part of that, head of attractions.
Absolutely. It's all good. I mean, he's a talented guy, and he really
gets it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the best way to put it. And him being there, you know, like you said, gives you comfort that the right thing's going to be done. Maybe not always, but, you know, and he's only one guy, and he isn't the only
end
choice.
All be all, but, yeah, but he kind of keeps the checks and balances a little bit. I think Grody. From over at the Animal Kingdom, Joe Rohde.
Right, right.
I think he gets it too. I think it's more about the show for him than anything else.
Yeah, another talented guy, and you know, he's traveling all around the world gathering information for future attractions and things going in at the Animal Kingdom and other theme parks too. I mean, he's most well known for his work at the Animal Kingdom, but he contributes across many sectors of the Walt Disney Company as well.
So that's going to be it for us this week, Dan. You please want to beg everybody to go over to iTunes and leave us a review.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to ask this week because we didn't get any for about a month. So I think if I don't ask, maybe we'll get some.
Yeah, I don't. I wish you guys would please go over and please give us a review on iTunes. I know our listenership is going up and up and up and up, but we can't get any reviews. So please go over and leave us a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And I hope everybody has a safe, happy, and healthy week.
Yes, I agree. And long weekend next weekend. It's Memorial Day already. And the 24-hour event, I believe, is next weekend, the 22nd into the 23rd. So any of our listeners that are heading down for that, have fun and see if you can do all 24 hours.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody's tweeting us, writing us. We're getting emails. We just can't get people to go to iTunes. They tell us they love the show, but I know it's a pain in the butt, guys, but please, it would really help us out. We'd really appreciate it. And that'll be it for this week. Everybody, like I said, be safe and sound, and we will talk to you real soon.
Later.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.